We'll read a wee bit more about Zacchaeus, and it's in Luke chapter 19. Don't know whether you want to follow it in your Bible, if you've got one, or just listen. But here's what we read at the beginning of Luke chapter 19. Then Zacchaeus entered and passed, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Lots of things we can learn from this simple story that many of us grew up with, the story of Zacchaeus. In about 15 minutes, let's look at some of the lessons we can take away today. We've already taken away one with the children. Now is the day of salvation. Zacchaeus made haste and came down. As soon as the Lord told him to do something, he did it. And whether we are believers who already have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, whether we've not reached that point and never put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, that's an important lesson to learn. That we do what the Lord tells us when he tells us to do it. Now is the time to be saved. Now is the time to serve, to obey. Another lesson we can learn is taking a wee while just to look at Zacchaeus' name. Because Zacchaeus means righteous one. Isn't that interesting? It's perfectly clear from what we've read in Luke chapter 19 that Zacchaeus was not living up to his name. Because as a tax collector, he would be responsible for quite a large tax district. Not only would he be unpopular with his Jewish neighbours for collecting taxes, he would be doubly unpopular because he was working for the Gentile occupiers of the country. He was working for non-Jewish employers. And these tax collectors were infamous for collecting more than they should. And I think it's perfectly clear from what Zacchaeus says in verse 8, I'll give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone but false accusation, I'll restore fourfold. It's perfectly clear Zacchaeus was no exception. Perfectly clear that he was not living up to the name righteous. So the first thing we learn is that it's possible to have a name and not live up to it. Sometimes names are chosen for a particular reason. Nowadays, more often than not, they're just chosen because our parents like the name. But Zacchaeus had a name that meant righteous, and he was not living up to it. However, by the end of the story, he was. And he was living up to it simply because he did what the Lord Jesus Christ told him to do. Simply because he obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ, came face to face with him, put his trust in him as Saviour. And the instant he did that, Zacchaeus was made righteous. Isn't that wonderful? That somebody who was not living up to the name righteous, because of an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, was made righteous. Here's something even more wonderful. You and I can have that experience today. Because when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ as sinners, when we put our trust in him as Saviour, when we, inverted commas, get saved, when we are converted, we're made righteous. We're made fit for heaven because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done at Calvary We'll think about that in a wee minute. So, the name Zacchaeus. The lesson from that, a man who was not living up to his name, but who, because of an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, was made righteous and was able to live up to his name. What about the place Jericho? Well, Jericho in the Old Testament was the scene of a really, in fact, the first decisive victory which Joshua, the leader of God's people in those days, won when the people entered the Promised Land. So Jericho, where this took place, the scene of a decisive victory in Israel's history. And you know, when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that is a victory. There was a huge victory here in Zacchaeus' life when he met the Lord Jesus. When you and I get saved, that's a victory. It's a victory first and foremost for the Lord Jesus Christ, who won the victory at Calvary. What happened at Calvary? That's twice I've mentioned it. Well, at Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only sinless man who ever lived, was subjected to the most awful treatment, not just by wicked men, but as he hung on that cross, he uttered this cry, which I can't explain. My God, why did you forsake me? Yeah, that at Calvary for the Lord Jesus Christ led to the greatest victory ever. Because also on that cross at Calvary, he cried, "It is finished." That wasn't the cry of a dying man who was defeated saying, "Oh, it's finished." No. Far from it. It was the cry of triumph from the Lord Jesus Christ, who had defeated Satan, had defeated death, had defeated Satan when Satan thought he was going to defeat him, had defeated death when Satan and his enemies, the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ, thought they would defeat the Lord Jesus in death. No, the Lord Jesus Christ emerged victorious from that. He won a victory. How do we know he won a victory? Because 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. Now that's a victory, isn't it? That's triumph, isn't it? And that's the Lord Jesus we as Christians trust. And that's the Lord Jesus whom we as Christians want to tell others about. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know him already, you can come to know him as Savior, a living Savior. The living, triumphant, risen Lord Jesus Christ. One of the hymns we sang in the Breaking Bread service this morning here was "The Heart is Satisfied." You know, there's a wonderful truth in the Bible. God is satisfied with what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. God is satisfied with what the Lord Jesus Christ did on that cross at Calvary. And the evidence of that is that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead and is alive today. God has highly exalted him. That's what we read in the Bible. And so, first and foremost, the victory when somebody gets saved, when somebody trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, is for the Lord Jesus, because he won that victory on the cross at Calvary. And the victory for you and me individually when we put our trust in Christ as Savior is being part of that victory, knowing that our sins are forgiven, that we're fit for heaven, and that one day we'll be with him forever. And in practical terms, the victory comes day by day, because those wee things that we find it so difficult to get rid of in our life, those things that we just wish we wouldn't do, those thoughts that we wish would go away, those actions that we do that we know we shouldn't do, those words that we speak that we shouldn't speak, well, we have the ability to win a victory over those habits, those sinful practices. Oh, we'll never live a sinless life while we're here on earth, because our sinful nature that we're born with is still there and doesn't go away while we're here on earth. So we still get things wrong, but we've got the ability to triumph. We've got the ability to have victory in our life day by day when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We've got the freedom to serve him instead of being shackled by all the things that limit us. We're free to go on and serve the best of masters once we trust him as Savior. What else are we going to learn about? Well, we've learned about Zacchaeus. We've learned about Jericho. Zacchaeus, the man who wasn't living up to his name. Jericho, the scene of a great victory. Let's look at what Zacchaeus did here. We've already thought of how he obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ as soon as he was told to obey him. He did exactly what he was told. But before he ever got that length, there's a lesson we can learn from Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, for one reason or another, wanted to see Jesus. Now, he would have known about the Lord Jesus, because the Lord Jesus was famous as he went about that part of the world when he lived here as a man. So Zacchaeus would have known about him. And Zacchaeus wanted to find out more. He wanted to see him. And that was why he went up his tree. So having wanted to find out about the Lord Jesus, he did something about that. Wonder whether you're in the position where you would really want to find out more about this Lord Jesus. Maybe even want to get saved. You know, I wasn't saved until I was 15, even although I knew the gospel, even although I knew I had to be saved if I was ever going to be in heaven, even although I knew that the Lord Jesus Christ had died for me, even although I wanted to get saved, I kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And God in his goodness waited, and God saved me when I was 15. But the lesson from Zacchaeus, the lesson that I arguably, you know, and if we're going to talk about it in human terms, should have learned when I was much younger, was this. If we want to find out about the Lord Jesus, do something about it. Maybe that's why you're here this morning. You know that you'll hear about the Lord Jesus Christ here. And so, you've, like Zacchaeus, you haven't gone up a sycamore tree, but you've come along to Bethany Evangelical Church to hear about the Lord Jesus. That's good. If we want to find out about the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to do something about it. We've got to get to where we'll hear about him. Bethany, in this instance. We've got to read where we'll find out about him. This book. Spend time with your Bible. Sometimes we've actually got to do something that is very, very difficult. And that is to get away from the crowd. Zacchaeus got away from the crowd as he went up his tree. He was up there on his own, hidden, he thought, but not hidden from the Lord. He actually had to separate himself, get away from the crowd. Sometimes we've got to get away from the crowd if we're going to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we've actually got to do something that is very difficult to do and say to maybe even friends, family, who are very close to us, there's something here that's even more important than you are. Family and friends are important in our lives, aren't they? And we should thank God for, I thank God for my family and my friends. But there is someone even more important, and that's the Lord Jesus himself. And it's important sometimes, necessary, sadly, just to get away from that crowd of friends and family so that we get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. There's another lesson we can learn from what Zacchaeus did. He actually got away from the crowd. He got away from those around him. And he had that face-to-face meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's what's important. Realizing that when the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to us and saves us, he speaks to us personally. Saves us personally. I don't know how Zacchaeus felt. I suspect he was very, very happy to hear the Lord Jesus speak to him personally. The evidence is there. We'll come to the evidence just in a wee minute. But it can be a bit of a shock when the Lord Jesus speaks to us personally. I can remember the night I was saved, and I realized God was speaking to me that night in a way that he had not spoken to me before. I knew that was my one opportunity. And that was a scary thought. As in my bedroom, I realized, tonight's your night, Archie. Tonight's your night to get saved. And it can shake us to the foundation when God speaks to us like that, and the Lord Jesus calls us in those terms. You know, it's fine when we're kind of sitting on a bench with our friends, neighbours, companions. It's fine when we're in the crowd. It's fine when we're just drifting along, enjoying life on a nice even keel. And then in the middle of that, God can speak to us as if we're the only one there. That's what it was like for me that night I was saved. I knew God was speaking to me. I knew that was my opportunity. And I knew, and I believe to this day, if I had not been saved that night, I would not have been saved. my spirit will not always strive with man. God promises us today. What was the wee verse we gave the kids? Now is the day of salvation. That's what God promises us, not tomorrow. And when we hear God speak to us in those terms, it can be scary. It can be frightening as we realize he's speaking to me personally, individually. And he's saying, come down. Come down from your sycamore tree. You've taken yourself away from the crowd. You've got to go that step further. Because I want to, in Zacchaeus' case, I want to come to your house. In your case, in my case, I want to come into your life as Saviour and as Lord. And I want to change things. As we finish, what does the Lord Jesus Christ change? Well, he gets rid of our sin. He's already paid the price that a holy God offended by our sin requires. He's already paid that price, taken that punishment on Calvary. We come into the good of that when we put our trust in him as Saviour. So he gets rid of our sins and makes us fit for heaven. He changes our life here and now. Conversion in Bible terms is just that. Conversion. It's an about turn. It's a complete change. It doesn't mean we never make any mistakes, but it does mean that we acknowledge him as Saviour, we acknowledge him as Lord, and we'll live to please him. What a privilege it is to serve the Lord Jesus while he leaves us here on earth. What a privilege to be able to follow him, to serve him as he gives us the strength to do it. And so, when we get saved, there's a change. And there's no point in pretending otherwise. There's a big change. Now, it might not be the dramatic change that some people know. Some people who have been steeped in sin and sometimes the very gross evidences of sin, and many of us know people like that, sometimes the change will be that obviously dramatic. In my case, brought up by Christian parents to go along to church services of various kinds, I was spared, thankfully, a lot of that. But there was still a change. I began to pray. I began to read God's word. I was baptized. I looked for a local church where I could be in fellowship with other believers. All of these things change. There's a whole change in the way we live. What was the evidence of the change, just as I close, in Zacchaeus? He said, if I've done anything that I shouldn't have done financially, I'm going to put it right. And he went much further than the law actually required them to go. You know, the law would not have required him to do as much as he did. But that's what it's like to serve the Lord Jesus. We don't do it in any legalistic way. We don't do it so that we can tick all the boxes. We don't do it as a matter of keeping all the rules and regulations. We do more than that because we love the Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. Thanks very much for listening. I often say, because I've said it, it's usually clear to me. It might not be clear to you. If there's anything you would like clarified, talk to somebody you know better than me. Talk to me. I'll be happy to explain things a wee bit more with you. So shall we close in prayer now? Gracious God, our Father, we do give thanks for your goodness to us today and for allowing us to do just what we've done. Open your word and learn about the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful Saviour he is, and those of us who know him personally appreciate day by day more and more all that he is and all that he's done. And so we do pray for any who are in this room or any of our friends and family who have never put their trust in him as Saviour. We do pray that they will hear your voice speak to them as never before and will come to that point of placing faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. So we just commit ourselves into your care now as we go. Keep us safe as we travel and be with us for the rest of this day. We offer our thanks in that precious name, Lord Jesus Christ.